Welcome to Rays Podcast, Latino talk that will change your life. Listen to the rays of light, inform, inspire, and entertain you to listen to your heart and follow your dreams. And now your host, Ray Collazo.
Welcome back to Rays Podcast. This is your virtual big brother, Ray Collazo. Rays Podcast provides inspiration, mentorship, and community so you can find wealth in your voice. Thank you so much for joining us. Rays Podcast is part of the Latino Talk Network that you can find at RaysPodcast.com. as well as LatinoSportsTalk.com. Thank you again so much for joining us on the podcast and those joining us live on Blab. For those not familiar, Blab.im is a video live streaming service where we're actually live and taping on video many episodes of Race Podcast. And we're very excited to have our very special guest. And for those listening either as a podcast or here on Blab, we really appreciate you joining us here on the Race Podcast journey to help people find wealth in their voice. Again, through inspiration, mentorship, and a wonderful community of rays of light, like our dear special guest. And I want to, let's bring him on because I know people have questions and want to tap into this man's expertise and this man's mindset because he definitely has, is going to have a lot for us to think about. Our very special guest today is a coach, speaker, podcaster, and author whose mission is to help you unlock the potential millionaire inside of you. Welcome the author of the book, Potencial Millonario, and the Potential Millionaire blog, y un cangrejero de Santurce, Puerto Rico, Felix Montelara. Welcome to Race Podcast, Felix.
Hola, Ray. How are you doing?
Muy bien, hermano. Man, it is so wonderful to have you on. And for those that are joining again, Felix is get some information from. But again, we really thank you. You know, Felix, it was such a blessing to meet you in Miami over the spring at Hispanicize. First time I was ever around like-minded Latino internet entrepreneurs like yourself and Arturo Nava and Cynthia Sanchez and so many wonderful people. Very proud of Arturo's exploits recently with his book, also an author now. And we definitely want to have Arturo and many of those folks on Ray's TV here on Blab. But we have you on here today, Felix, because you have so much to share, not only as a financial coach, but an author, but someone that really helps focus people on tapping into their inner millionaire. And Felix, you know, your career did not start as a financial guru that's resonated throughout the world with his powerful message. So Felix Montelara, where did this journey begin for you?
Well, it began when I was actually a teenager. I remember living in a place called Barrio Obrero, Santurce. And I'm actually originally from Jersey City, New Jersey. And I lived a few years in the Bronx, but when I got to Puerto Rico in Barrio Obrero, Santurce, it was very difficult for the family. Times were hard. My dad, after 25 years of working in one place, actually lost his job. He was a manager for a restaurant, a seafood restaurant, and it was sold. And he was in his mid-40s, and he found it very hard to find a new job and start over. So we actually ended up being evicted from where we lived. And I remember that and thinking to myself, you know what? When I grow up as a, you know, I was a teenager at the time. When I become a full-blown man, I don't want that ever, ever, ever to happen to me or my family again. And that's where everything really started for me when it comes to the being conscious with money and how to play and deal with the money.
And Felix, what do you think was the key? Because that's not every child's reaction. You know, oftentimes we sort of repeat the mistakes of our family. And I don't want to say mistakes, but we repeat their path, right?
Right.
So what do you think it was about that moment that didn't make you feel hopeless, but really it provided you a lesson about how you wanted to live your life?
Well, it was a surprise to me. That's what really happened. I did not understand that my dad had no savings. I did not understand that my dad never had an emergency plan if something ever happened with the job. So for me, it was a shock. I thought, well, you know, he's got to be able to pay this rent. He's got to be able to pay the utilities, the light, the water, the gas. He should be able to do all this, right? So when we got evicted, I was like, reality sits in. I'm going, no, this is not the way it should be. So I was like, I will not. I mean, it was so traumatic for me that I was like, I will beg before I get thrown out on the street again.
And we're going to talk specifically about your millionaire mindset in the second segment of Ray's podcast. But I want to really hone in on a personal level. What were your steps to take this approach and really focus your career, not only on sort of learning about finances, but sharing the knowledge that you were acquiring with others in your role as a content creator and an internet entrepreneur?
Well, what happened was since then, I always decided that I would have some money saved away for some type of emergency in case something would happen. I just did not understand how to go about it. So I'm working and I'm being a saver in certain aspects of my life, but I have no idea what thing should I do first and what thing should I do second or third, at that matter. So I made a lot of mistakes like everybody else. I always had an extra cushion of cash just in case I would see myself without a job for 2 or 3 months. But the reality was that I had to make sure that I would be able to live without a job for 3 to 6 months. And I'm not saying that because I knew it at the time. That's what I figured it would take me to find a different job or a new job or start something up where I can make some money and then pay my bills. So I figure if I can get over for the first 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, I would generate enough money to continue living under the conditions that I'm at and not being evicted out of a place or homeless for a while or living in a vehicle.
Drove you to make this a part of your brand, a part of your mission to educate others about the importance of financial literacy? And
well, I had this horrible experience that I think a lot of people probably haven't had. But at one point in my life, I was making, under my standards, I was making too much money. And I didn't know what to do with this money. And I laugh because the bottom line is when you make money that you're not expecting and you don't know how to manage that money, you don't know what to do with the money, you have two options. Either you spend it or you live it up. So either or, yeah. You're going to spend this money if you don't save it, if you don't know what to do with it. So I started having this extra income coming in because I was doing what I call the side hustle. I was working long hours, many jobs. I was always trying to figure out how am I going to make a little bit extra every month so I can always save. So in that case, I was always trying to make sure that I had enough money. And I actually got to the point where I actually became a self-made millionaire. So that's where the jump comes in. I'm like, you know what? I should share this information with other people. Because if a guy like me that doesn't have a safety net when it comes to the family, when it comes to income, when it comes to your social network, I've always saw myself, if I was to lose my job tomorrow, who can I go, hey, Ray, can I give you a call tomorrow and ask you for $1,500 for my mortgage? Yeah. Who can I call? And I didn't have anyone to call. So in this case, I had to make sure that I made my own safety net. And if anything ever happened, I would be ready for that occasion.
It's interesting the way you discussed it when we talked on Blab last week about how it's really a relationship with money and how you view money, right? Because
that's correct.
There's a mentality that I've seen amongst my family members. And I think, to be very honest with you, I've had it at other points in my life, is that living paycheck to paycheck is kind of what you're supposed to do almost. And it for some people, it seems odd to save. Can you talk a little bit about that, Felix, about how within your approach, it really is about tackling your relationship with money?
Yeah, I've always said money is like being in a relationship with a significant other. If you don't treat it right, if you don't treat that significant other right, guess what that significant other is going to do? Take one good guess. they're going to leave, right? So if the significant other is going to leave and you have that same sort of relationship with your money, that money is going to leave. And it's not coming back. Okay, that money is not coming back. You know, there's a system out there that you can, there's these bills that are marked. I don't know if you've ever seen them. They got a stamp on them, and you can look them up on the internet, and it'll show you where these bills have traveled throughout the world. And it's really interesting because a person who gets the bill logs on and say, hey, I'm here in Montgomery, Alabama. So, you know, money does not make it back is what I'm getting at. But relationship, yeah, you may have a second chance. Money, sometimes there's not that second chance when it comes to that particular dollar that came through your hand.
And so what's the mindset perspective? And we're going to get into more of this in the second segment of this podcast. And again, we have many people checking us out on Blab. Really appreciate you joining us. Your virtual big brother, Ray Collazo, with a very special guest and a great friend, Felix Montelara, the author of Potencial Millonario, as well as Potential Millionaire Blog, and a financial advisor, consultant, coach, and really one of our dynamic social media content creators in this space. You know, Felix, do you feel from an emotional perspective that part of the treatment of money in our community comes from the fact that some of us don't feel like we deserve to have money or be wealthy, and that there's kind of a mindset related to feeling we're not good enough we're not one of those quote unquote rich people. So we're not supposed to have this extra money or these extra funds or wealth. Where do you think that, does that resonate with some of the people that you've coached?
Definitely. Definitely. When I talk to people, you know, that I try, one of the things that I try to work on is on the mindset, even before I work on the real adding and subtracting of what they have and what they don't have, because this is like these sports people. There has been people, you know, they come into contract. Football players come into contracts. They'll play 5 years. They'll get $8 million, $3 million contract. Even though that money's coming in, at the end of the day, when they retire, they end up filing for bankruptcy. Have you ever heard of that? Boxers. Yeah. Boxers will make millions of dollars on two or three bouts at the peak of their careers. At the end, they'll be in the hometown. I'm from a place where we have a lot of boxing champions, and you know it. What happens is when they get older, they're broke. They're broke. They're totally broke. So you have to have this mindset where not only do you deserve it, but it's okay to have it. And the problem that we have is we grow up with all these misconceptions, okay? All these, what I call all these negative paradigms concerning money, where we believe that it's not right to have all this money. If we have money, what comes to mind? We call it what? Filthy money? We call it, you know, we call it all kinds of things. But the reality is that today, money is a necessary evil, okay? When I say necessary evil, is because money makes you a bigger something of what you currently are. So with that, what I'm getting at is, if you're a jackass and you're broke, when you have money, you'll be a bigger jackass. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's all. You have just more money to be a jackass. That's right.
That's right. That's right. Now, if you're a good, loving person that likes to give and help others, then when you have the money, then you will be exactly that same person. Now, we see people that change when they have some extra money and they think they're Mr. what we call Mr. Fulano de Tal, right? And they think they're all that. But at the bottom line is, did they really change, or were they always that way and money just made it a little bit more apparent?
But I have a question from Christian Abad. His question is very simple. Does having money necessarily make you successful, Felix? That's a pretty straight up question, but that's one to make you address that.
Christian, that's an awesome question, because definitely not. Definitely not. Now, money doesn't make you, money's just a tool. Money is just a tool that will help you progress in this life and achieve the goals that you want to go to. But being successful is not about the money. The money's just one part of it. It's about living the life that you want in the way that you want, no matter what people tell you. Okay. No matter if people are telling you that is the wrong path, that is the wrong way, you should not do that. You have to do what's in your heart and try that first. I know plenty of people that go to college and they graduate with degrees because their parents wanted them to be an engineer. Their parents wanted them to be a lawyer. Their parents wanted them to be an accountant. And guess what? These people want to be actors. These people want to be musicians. These people want to be sport figures. These people want to be on TV. These people want to be like Ray on Blab. And they really not necessarily want to have these degrees, but they do it. So no, being successful is separate from the money. You can be very successful, be very humble. One prime example of that is the Catholic Church. They have a lot of people that devote their entire life to that church, and they live with a vow of poverty, but they're successful at what they're doing. Does that make sense, Ray?
It makes sense to me. And we're talking to Felix Montalara from Potencial Millonario. We're going to talk about his book in a second, as well as the Potential Millionaire blog, a truly bilingual advocate for financial literacy to live our lives, you know. And I want to talk about the spiritual for a second, Felix, because particularly in the Latino community, where, I mean, obviously we have diverse spiritual faiths more and more every day, but, you know, the dominant Catholic Judeo-Christian ideology in our culture, you know, oftentimes has preached about, you know, kind of the, what is the biblical saying, you know, it's harder to get through the eye of the needle than
a rich man get through, right.
Yeah, you know, so when you're coaching your clients, when you're coaching people, when you're training them, do you have that spirit? Does it end up being I don't want to say a spiritual hurdle, but a perceived spiritual hurdle that in terms of addressing people's mindset?
Yes, yes. And one of the things I do a lot in my podcast, I had a decision to make when I first started the podcast itself, because I use what I call a devotional every week. So I talk about the word of the Lord at the end of my podcast. And I had a decision to make. Do I put that in there or do I not put that in there? Because there's some people that's going to get offended. Some people that just don't want to hear that. Some people who says, well, this is about money. Why are you putting some of that stuff in there? But it goes hand in hand is what I'm getting at. And the reason it goes hand in hand is because there are about 5,000 plus scriptures in the Bible that talk about the financial aspects of your life, especially in the Bible. So, you know, we have all this good stuff going on in there. And, you know, the one very famous that people misinterpret is the one where it states that money is the root of all evil. That is true. Money is the root, but money itself, it's actually the love of money is the root of all evil. So money, people leave that little word out like I just did. And what happens is we think we shouldn't have this money. We shouldn't deal with it. Well, you know, in my world where I live, we have to give what look, it's called el diezmo. What's the diezmo in English?
Like the tithe.
The tithe, yes, the tithe. A lot of people tell me, well, Felix, is that tithe, you know, net money, or is it, you know, these are the little questions I get, you know, is it gross? I give it gross because that's what I earned. So I don't know if you should do the same, but I believe that I should. And that's why I put it in the podcast, because I always said a person can go to the end and decide whether they want to hear that devotional or not. And if they don't want to hear it, then they have no business listening to my podcast. To be very honest, my podcast is heard in about 110 countries throughout the world, and it's downloaded approximately 10,000 times average a month. So it's not huge, but I do have a good following. So I think it's working with the message in there.
Absolutely. And we're going to get to Felix's podcast, his radio program, and his incredible book, get a taste of what you would find when you purchase. And we want everyone to support Felix and his and support yourself by checking out and purchasing the Potencial Millonario book. And he's going to talk about that in a second. And before we get to the second segment of Race Podcast, I want to remind people that you're listening to Race Podcast, Latino Talk That Will Change Your Life. Thank you so much for joining us. This is your virtual big brother, Ray Collazo. Race Podcast brings you mentors like Felix Montelara that will help you find wealth in your voice. Again, the Race Podcast is part of the Latino Talk Network, which you can find at racepodcast.com and latinosportstalk.com. My four-year-old Maxwell's joined us in this conversation. He should be asleep, but he wants to hang out with Daddy. So here you go, Papi. You can sit here and join us. Felix, thank you again for joining us. Let people know, find out more about your book, Potencial Millonario. Let people know where they can find it and find you in social media.
Well, I'm in all the social medias available, but I do hang out on Facebook. So you can look for my name, Felix Montelara, or Potencial Millonario on Facebook. I do have a blog by the same name, potencialmillonario.com. If you like, if you prefer in English, there is a English version of it called thepotentialmillionaire.com. So D as in T-H-E, potentialmillionaire.com, or potencialmillonario.com. So those are the easiest way to find me. And from there, you can navigate to all the other sites. So if you do email me and I don't reply like soon, email me again and say, hey, dude, you missed my email. Because sometimes it'll go to that junk email and that's I don't spam, see them. Yeah. And there when you do this, you get so much spam on people trying to, you know, do things for you. Like you won the lottery, Mr. Sir, I'm in another country. Can you help me with this stuff? You know, so. Yeah. It filters so much for me.
I hear you. So, Felix, I'm curious, what's the biggest question you get from your fans on email? I'm curious, what's the biggest thing they ask you?
Housing. People are looking to find out how much money should they spend on a house, how to go about it. That's the number one question is about the house, how to get the house, how to buy it, that type of stuff. So that is what I get the most.
Yeah, it's really interesting about the housing piece. So Felix, talk to us about Potencial Millonario. What led you to writing this book and creating this brand to help people with their personal finances?
Well, like I was saying, back in the 2000s, I was actually managing a couple contracts and I was getting extra money. The money was what we call variable income. So it's not a steady paycheck that you get. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I had what I call a budget, and it was a loosely budget. It's not something that I sat down and I said, you know, by the penny, this is how much I'm going to spend. But I would say, you know what, my utility bills, let's say my water bill is $50 a month average. It could be 60 one month. It could be 30 the other month. But I would budget $50 for that. So I had this loose budget that I went by. And with this variable income, when I had extra money, I had all these questions and I would sit there and try to figure out, okay, I have a mortgage. So can I put extra money towards the mortgage or should I pay some credit cards ahead of time? You know, so these were simple questions, but I had no answers, no plan on how to go about to make my money grow. And let's not talk about type of investments, like if you have children, do you have a 529? Did you even know that they exist? Do you know that there's the Cloverdale plan? There's all these stuff that you don't know about. So I was buying a ton of double E savings bond because at the time, that's all I knew. I didn't know any better. I didn't know that the 529 existed. I didn't know that you can do Cloverdale accounts. I didn't know, you know, all this good stuff. So the best thing I could do was like, I was ignorant towards how to invest this money. So I was just buying U.S. savings bonds, double E bonds. They're still around. And I still, guess what? Because of habit, when I have a grandchild, I just buy them bonds. I put them on the list. I get their I get their social date of birth, and I put them on the list, and I buy them bonds. Out of habit. I know I shouldn't do it. I know I should be doing something else, but they're my grandkids. So I'm like, hey, yeah, so if something happens, they'll have something in the future, right?
Yeah,
they'll if have they something decide to go to college.
Yeah, so then what was the key to putting it down on paper, sharing these life lessons and putting together Potencial Millonario?
Well, that's what happened was at one point I had purchased a couple of houses. Then they were at the beginning, they were my personal residence where I lived, right? And I made the same mistake that other people do. I bought a house, I lived it for 3 to 5 years, and I have a new kid, and guess what? I'm missing a room. So now we don't have space, right? Oh, honey, let's go buy another house, get a bigger house. We'll sell this one, you know, or we'll rent it or this or that. And guess what happens, right? What happens is you think you're going to sell it. You don't sell it. You start renting it. Oh, things are going nice. Now it's rented. It pays itself. It may give me a little bit of cash flow, you know, so I'm doing good until that person moves out. And now you have to pay that mortgage, yeah, right? Yeah. And now you want to sell it. It takes 3 months, 6 months. And guess what? Then you change jobs. Now you have two houses. You move again. Well, next thing I know, I end up with four residences, four places that I bought. Now, there's a lot of what I call luck in this world, right? And there's yeah, luck, but you create your luck also. Luck is just not something that, you know, I'll sit here and wait for luck to hit, smack me in the lap, and I'll go use it, right? What happened is that when I bought these houses, I wasn't even aware that we were coming out of a small depression back in 1989. So yeah, housing was low at the time. I'm not aware of this. So here I am buying these places through the 90s, early 90s, at prices of 1980s. So I'm getting these good deals. I mean, I'm figuring, yeah, I'm getting a good deal, but I don't understand how good of a deal I was really getting. So what happens is come 2006. What happened 2006? The housing bubble, right? Mm-hmm. So I've got these houses that I've purchased and I'm paying off on the mortgage. I got them on a plan for 15 years or less, because I'm paying extra money on each house. I'm making these extra payments. Housing bubble comes around and a light bulb goes off. Sell. Yeah. Sell. Do it now. Now, will that ever happen again to me? Probably not. You know, when it comes to that magnitude of money, that one year, I sold a few houses. And after everything was said and done, I had an income. In 2007, I had an income of over $650,000.
Wepa, papa.
So I'm like, whoa, check this out. You know, I made out. You know, I
Vendiendo
made
casa. Is that, I, that was a, your selling those properties?
My own personal properties. Yeah, I sold a yeah, few. I still actually own one in Maryland where two of my kids still live. And okay, it's a couple of blocks away from the district, the District of Columbia. So that house there, I assume that house would never really, even when the bubble burst it, that house was still worth two times more than what I paid for it.
Oh, yeah.
Even at that forever, point.
Brother. Yeah, that housing down there is, I do a lot of work in D.C. My main office for my day job is in D.C. Well, like you too, ultimately, right? So I mean, my bosses, who I know are making six figures, have to live way out in Maryland because it's so expensive. So you're in a good shape. You're in good shape for sure. So Felix, I wanted to get the ball rolling so people can whet their appetite and definitely purchase Potencial Millonario, or check out your Potential Millionaire blog and tap into your financial coaching services. So I'm hooked. I want to buy into your system, Felix, and I want to begin this journey on becoming a potential millionaire. What do you suggest as people's first step?
Well, the first step is realizing where you want to go. When we talked last week, I told you about what I call the GPS, right? Mm-hmm. And the GPS is simple. you got to know where you're at. Where are you? Okay. Yeah. And know where you want to go so you can find a vehicle, whatever that vehicle is. It could be real estate. It could be investments. It can be a business. It can be your job. Because one of the things I tell people is I have a 9-to-5. I've had a 9-to-5 for over 32 years. Yes, I have done some entrepreneurship stuff. I've had a couple business. I did the housing thing. And that actually is what helped me get to what I call the hardest million, which is the first million, right?
Yeah.
That was the hardest one to get to. So when you actually have this millionaire mindset and you know where you want to go from point A to point B, that means that if you don't know where you're at, okay, a GPS will never, ever, ever be able to take you to where you want to go. So in this case, what I'm saying is the first thing you got to know is, hey, where am I? Am I doing well? We're always trying to keep up with the Joneses, right? So in this case, how do I compare with people my age? How do I compare with people that have an education, that people that don't have? Where am I there? How do I compare? Am I a little bit behind? Am I a little bit ahead of them? Because sometimes we have a lot of folks out there that are ahead of all these people. And, you know, it's because they've had experiences like the ones I had when I was a young man. And you're a little bit ahead of the curve because you're studying, you're learning, you're trying to figure this out. But a lot of the times you're behind the eight ball. And knowing where you're at, you know, a lot of people don't even know if they are in debt to the point where they are worth their net worth, or lo que se conoce como el patrimonio, is less than what they're bringing in. It's less than what they have, meaning they're in the negative. And if you're in the negative and you do that, you sit down, you fill out a papers showing all the expenses that you have, showing all the income that you have, and you put it together in a net worth statement, that's an eye opener, especially if you see negatives in front of the numbers, you're like going, I thought I was doing a little bit better. Okay. And that's step one, is realizing where you're at. And then once you realize where you're at, and then you figure out where you want to go, then you have to make sure that your mind goes along with that thinking. Because you will never, ever, ever be a millionaire if you don't think you can achieve that. You'll sabotage yourself. And I'll give you a prime example of this. When I was in Puerto Rico growing up as a teenager, I played first before I got to Puerto Rico. I was being raised in the Bronx, and I played baseball in the Bronx. And
uptown, I'll never forget, baby.
they gave me a uniform. I played one game, and then they said, Felix, you know what? Your game is not there. Can we have the uniform back?
Ideal. Yeah.
So I gave them the uniform back. I was 13 years old. 13. So I moved to Puerto Rico just right after that. And I joined another league over there. And at this point, I'm about 14. I make the team. They give me the uniform. But the day that we're going to start the first game, you know what they said? We got somebody who's a little bit better, and we need the uniform back. And I was like, wow, do I really suck or what? I mean, is this telling me something? But I kept practicing. Even though I was not in the teams, I kept practicing. By the time I was 18, I had already played AA ball in Puerto Rico. I became a prospect for Los Lobos de Arecibo, which is the professional winner team. And if this was 1981, they were the Caribbean champion. And the rookie of the year was Carl Ripken Jr. And the regular center fielder, the guy who made me eat bench the whole year, was Mookie Wilson.
Well, not bad.
Not bad, you know? So here's a guy.
You got to play with those guys? Felix, you got to play baseball with those guys?
Yeah, it was great. It was awesome. It was awesome.
Wow.
I was a prospect.
That's incredible.
I was a prospect. But you know what I did? I sabotaged myself. And that's what I'm getting at, because I didn't have the mentality to be a major leaguer. I didn't have it. I didn't believe in myself. And as soon as I got these opportunities, guess what happened? I left. I turned in the uniform. I was like, I'm not worthy of this. I am not. I'm not as good. I was comparing myself to Mookie Wilson. You know, I mean, he was a regular center fielder. I mean, the guy is a legend. You know, all-star. I mean, you can't beat that. So at that point, you know, you're like, okay, and with money, you would do the same thing to yourself. You would sabotage yourself. As soon as you have a small victory, as soon as something happens where you win with money, you get scared. You just get scared. You're like, whoa, is this supposed to happen? Am I supposed to have this success? Is this for me?
We're as fearful of success oftentimes as we are of failure.
That is correct.
And you're absolutely right, because I know in my own personal life, you know, part of the reason I turned to social media and quite honestly, you know, podcasting and blab, you know, live streaming, is that I felt like a caged bird, because I really felt like I had all this to say, all these people I wanted to share, and I didn't have any way of expressing it. You know, I've got I'm very thankful for my day job, but at the same time, my day job is to execute a mission of an organization. It's not my personal mission. And so I really felt that, and in particular, with the kind of work I've done, it connected with people like you and Felix. And I said, you know, I got all these people around the country that have so much to share. I just want to be able to share them. I feel greedy, guilty. And also, I knew that I wasn't being compensated nearly my value because of my skill set. And so that's what drove me to this. And obviously, I like to talk and I like to communicate. And I really felt that, you know, I could be a vehicle to helping people. And when I got into it, I realized I was actually thinking about this very selfishly, because I got into it thinking about how it was about me expressing myself, when in fact, it was to give people a platform to do this. I mean, someone who, and I think we're just having, thank you, Christian. I think we're having a tech issue with getting Crucita on today. But, you know, I mean, Crucita never heard of Blab till about 7 hours ago.
Really?
And one of the reasons I went to her office to interview her is that, you know, she's got the story that needs to be told. Single mom in the hood, going through it. And, you know, not just a hood, Camden, New Jersey, which is like famously challenged. Been murder capital world, you know, kind of wins many that years. Title. They're like the Miami Heat of violence. You know, they win the championship every couple of years, unfortunately. And, you know, but knowing Camden the way I do, I know the beauty of the people there and the spirit the accomplished the talent there. So I wanted her story to symbolize the people that are out there that we don't hear about. So
it's really about the folks that you're serving, really. I mean, at the end of the day, those are the people that are benefiting, is the people that you're talking to. So,
and it's about the exponential, right? Because, you know, Crucita's kind of one of the things we got out of the conversation today was, and there'll be a separate podcast on this, is that she was like, wow, I'd like to connect with like-minded people. And, you know, in this immediate community, there are some professionals and there's some, you know, realtors and insurance agents and the kind of thing she does, but there aren't really that many, and or at least people that have her mentality. And I said, well, on the internet, I know it's like a huge ocean, but you can find them. You just have to kind of have the right, you know, you have to have the right boat, I guess. But so anyway, I want to help people like her kind of, we assume everyone like knows how, yeah, people are on Facebook and people are on the internet and using these tools, but they don't, a lot, most people who are real busy with their lives aren't really I don't think they have the information to really tap into them and maximize and get their own message out there. So Felix, you talked about the first step. I think the other part of it I wanted to share with you was talk a little bit more about that. How do you in your coaching and in the book that you wrote, and thank you, there's your virtual big brother, Ray Collazo, and we have wonderful people like Felix Montelada, your mentorship, inspiration, resources can help you find wealth in your voice. So how do you help people get over that those feelings that they're not good enough for the money, they don't know how to deal with the money, all of those things? What is the key for you to kind of make that breakthrough that you chronicle in Potencial Millonario?
Financial literacy. That is the key, financial literacy. What I request of people, I work with a lot of youngsters. About 2 or 3 years ago, I had four seniors in high school seniors that I worked with. And I want to ensure that these seniors got into college because, as you know, in the Latino community, our rates of getting kids from high school into college are very low. You know, I mean, it's proven that we are, I think it's like a low number, like 38% average nationwide. So we need to get our students.
Money's a big factor in that. Money's a big factor.
And money's a big factor. It is, but it's the mentality that we have to do other things. We have to take care of our parents. We have to take care of our brothers or sister. We have to go find a job that we're going to make $10 an hour and help out the rest of the family in that way, versus thinking if I wait 3 to 4 or 5 more years, I can help the family in a bigger way down the road. But what we do is we just want to get this job right off the bat. I have a child. He's in his 30 years old. He works for the University of Maryland, and he got his first job at 19 with Delta, and he calls me and he's like, "Hey, Dad, I'm with Delta. I've been here 6 months. You know, I'm permanent now. I got benefits. I'm going to quit college." And I'm like, "Really?" I'm like, "Well, you may want to consider that before you quit college, because college isn't for everyone. I give you that." And I said, just give it some time and see how the job goes before you stop going. Finish your semester before you stop going. Not even 2 weeks later, this is back in early 2000s when Delta was laying off people, he got a pink slip and he calls me. He's like, "Dad, I'm going to stay in college because I got a pink slip." And I say, "There you go, son. That's your sign. You know, it's okay to make $10, $12 an hour when you first start. That's a start. And that is awesome. Okay. But when you get to be 40 years old, 50 years old, and you're still making $10, $12, $13 because you made a decision, is that fair, not only for you, but the family that you're going to have, your children, the children of your children? I don't think so. I don't really think so. So we have other reasons why our dropout rate is kind of high, you know, when it comes to getting into college itself. So I try to help. What I do is I mentor people. I guide them. And I try to make them understand that there's this mentality called the millionaire mindset versus what I call the poor mindset. And I'm not talking about poor people. I'm talking about the mindset. Okay. Because if you can't change, if you can't make a shift, if you cannot see that paradigm through where you see your life going through based on your past, you're never going to make it. You're never going to make it that way. So you have to start working on this mindset as soon as possible. And you have to develop what I call good habits. And with these good habits come all these things that I wrote in the book is about good habits. It's about, I wrote 11 golden rules. There's a gentleman by the name of Dave Ramsey, and he has his Spanish version of it, which is Andres Gutierrez, which I don't know if you've sure. met him. He's an awesome guy. You know, he's doing financial literacy and they're making money and, you know, respectfully in that way. So, you know, so if they can make money, we can make money, you know, doing this and teaching people how to do it. But we have to teach them about this mindset. You cannot say, you know, we have this saying in Espanol que siempre dice, "Ah, ¿por qué las cosas siempre me pasan a mí?" You know, why do things always happen to me? You know, we are the victim of this world when in essence, we shouldn't be the victims. We should be able to say, okay, this happened. This was a failure. Take that, notch it as experience, and let's move on and make it better. So, and that's what I'm talking about. I'm not only talking about the money when I talk about the millionaire mindset. I'm talking about your entire life. You know how many people, when I was one of them, I would go out and work 12, 14, 15, 16 hour days. And then I would get home and years later, I remember walking in and going, I got kids in college? Really? They graduated? Oh, honey, honey, where are you, honey? And the honey was like, who are you? Not even your wife recognizes your ass. You're like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Because we go after this money without taking care of our family. You know, I was a great provider back then, but I don't really believe that I was the best dad in the world because I neglected a lot of my kids' activities at the time to pursue this money that I really wanted. And I was I would give them anything they wanted. We had the money to have whatever we wanted. But at the end of the day, what my kids wanted was a little bit more dad.
Yep.
Right? And you need to understand that. That was like the question Christian posed, you know, what is success? If you do all this and you end up a billionaire and you have no friends, no family, no life, were you successful in life?
I don't think so. I'll tell you what, and at this stage in my life, Felix, I'll be honest, you know, it's something I struggle with every day, you know, because I have a 9-to-5, which is really like a 9-to-6. And then I've got two little boys, 6 and 4. And they're just, you know, they're my life. I just love them so much. And they're just so wonderful. And, you know, and they still like daddy. I think eventually I hear when they get older, they're not as cool about hanging out with daddy. But for now, they're fine with me. And I do struggle with it because, you know, to get this done, to move my internet business platform forward and my brand forward, I got to work on this. So when am I going to work on it? Night, lunch hour, you know, whenever I can hustle it. Right. And, you know, I had to come to grips with balancing that because I was letting that desire to do stuff for them and prove it, show them that their daddy could be a successful business person. You know, it was interfering in their time. And so that's why we do the show at 10 o'clock Eastern, because, you know, they're already asleep and you know, it's a small sacrifice. But we have a question from Mr. Munson here. There's a gentleman that's also jumping on, which is wonderful. Give us one other tip, Felix. Mr. Munson wants to know about your millionaire mindset. Maybe another one of your golden rules you'd like to share with us today.
Well, one of them is about what I call is about debt. And we, you know, in the millionaires, I go by two books. One book is by T. Harv Eckert, The Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. And then the other book is by Dr. Stanley. And Dr. Stanley wrote The Millionaire Mind. And in Dr. Stanley's book, it was more of interviews that he conducted of millionaires, deca-millionaires. At the time, I think it was 1,300 millionaires that he interviewed, and there were surveys. He asked a bunch of questions about where they came from, how they built their empires, how they made their money, how they lived, what type of vehicles they used, and all that. So there's one constant that comes out, and it's always about credit, and we got to see credit as something that it's a tool and not a way of life. So I'll talk to people that I'm mentoring, and just to give you a prime example of the poor mentality of a person that will walk through my doors, you know, I say, well, do you have an emergency fund? They'll say, oh, yes. And I say, well, you know, is it cash? And is it sitting somewhere in a bank or something? Oh, no, it's my credit card. I have it paid off. It's zero balance, and I got $10,000 credit. Really? So is that the millionaire mind, or is that the poor man's mentality coming out?
We're interviewing our wonderful Ray of Light, a dear friend of the Race Podcast community, Felix Montelada, and he's cheesing it up here on the Blab line because he's showing his cover, Potencial Millonario. Who's that very handsome young man on the cover? That wouldn't be you. Is that Felix? You was a baby?
That is DiCasio Montelara. That's my, he's 10 years old now at the time. If you could only see the cover through the podcast, it would be amazing. But Blab is doing a great job.
Absolutely.
Was
40,
He was 4 years old at the time, and the boy loves his tuxedos because I am raising him with that millionaire mind. This individual is 10 years old, and next week he will do his first paid gig as a pianist. So, you know, the little guy's got it going.
I'll tell you what, he's got his daddy style. And again, for those listening on the podcast, you can check out all the episodes of Race Podcast and Latino Talk Podcast Network at racepodcast.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes, SoundCloud, anywhere you can subscribe to a podcast. And also check out our sports brand. If you're sports fans out there, anyone checking us out, check out latinosportstalk.com. We have sports fans coast to coast, LA, New York, people that want to talk about the NFL, wrestling, got WWE guys on our marked out show, MMA, boxing. We talked a lot about Rousey, talked about Cotto Canelo. So definitely check out our sports guys. And we're going to get them on Blab soon. But we're going to bring into the conversation someone that's joined on Blab here, Christian Abad. Christian, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate you joining live on screen.
How are you doing, guys?
Muy bien, muy bien. Christian, what about this conversation prompted you to join in? I appreciate your engagement.
Thank you, Ray, for all the content, good content. Felix, thank you for all the information. Thank you for answering my question. And yeah, happy to see you guys. I'm new in Blab, trying to engage with all the Latinos and also trying to get rid of my fear of speaking English.
Okay, where are you from, Christian?
I'm from Ecuador.
Ecuador, very nice, very nice. We have a... do you live in Ecuador now, or are you in the States now?
I'm living in New York.
Oh, okay. We're not too far from each other. I'm in New Jersey, closer to Philadelphia, but I'm in New York quite a bit. Wonderful Ecuadorian community. We're always in touch with a lot of folks from your community. But what's on your mind today, Christian?
I was thinking about our culture, the culture of the Latino, the idea of not saving money or not investing money. That's the culture that I was born with. And I was seeing that I also had the same questions that Felix was mentioning, why my dad or my mom didn't have some kind of saving or some kind of money to use in case of an emergency. I haven't seen that. And I love my dad. I love my mom. But I always noticed that. And so I'm in New York, and what I'm doing at the time is I'm creating that saving that is going to help not only me, but it's going to help my kids. I'm planning to invest and trying not to stay with that Latino culture.
Mm-hmm. Felix, I know that resonates with...
Well, you know, and Christian hits it right on the head, hits the nail on the head. In our culture... we rarely talk about money unless it's a problem, right? We're at the dinner table and we don't have enough money and we start yelling and screaming and we say, you know, estás gastando mucho, ¿por qué lo estás haciendo? And it becomes a huge problem for the family. We have places or families that don't talk to each other, siblings that will not talk to each other because of this money issue. And it deteriorates our families. And this is why I decided in 2009, I wrote the book in 2009. Actually, I published it. I started in 2007. It took me 2 years to get the rules that I wanted within the book because I want to explain to folks that can read Spanish that there's a different way of doing business. It's just not a U.S. thing. If you go to Mexico and Mexico, they are pretty much advanced when it comes to personal finance because they don't have the safety nets that we have here. They don't have the exact type of programs that we have, social programs. They have something similar, but not exactly the same. And the retirements are a little bit different. And so they have to depend on themselves also. So when you have to depend on yourself, you know, you remember Carl Walenda when he tried to cross the two buildings in San Juan and he fell off and he had no net. He died. He died. Carl Walenda died trying to cross.
He died in Puerto Rico, yeah.
Right? He died. Yeah. This man had so much experience. He was, you know, he was renowned for all the type of stuff that he did like that, the high wire stuff. And guess what? No safety net. Now, if we have an opportunity, we're talking about money here, right? We're going to create money. That's what we do. I don't care who says what about this life. We have to have the money. Okay. It's not that the money is our God, because that's not what I'm trying to get at. The bottom line is we live in a society where you have to create the money. If you don't create the money, you cannot pay your stuff. You cannot have a family. You can't have all the good stuff that you want to have and enjoy and make your life and your family life better, right? So with that said, you have to make sure that you create these safety nets where if something happens to you, think about this. A lot of people that have children with disabilities are better prepared for an emergency if they pass away than maybe you, Ray, or me.
Absolutely. Christian, what was the key for you to sort of get past kind of the old ways of doing things to think about money in a different way?
Well, at the beginning, what I was seeing is that I was judging my parents for that. Mm-hmm. And then I decided I'm not going to stay on that thought. I'm going to use what I have experienced as a learning, and I'm going to do the opposite for my kids. So in this case, what I want to do is not that I'm ready with this. I'm in the process, but what I want to do is to have enough money to pay the education of my kids when they get to the university. And then when they finish the university, I want to have some kind of money to give them. Since they already finished the university, what I want to do is give the money to them so they can invest and create their own business.
That is a great point where people can tap into the Potencial Millonario book and potential millionaire brand.
Well, the Potencial Millonario book, it's a Spanish edition. It's 92 pages. It's a pretty easy read. And you can find it on Amazon.com. Just type in Potencial Millonario, or you can go to my blog, which is thepotentialmillionaire.com, thepotentialmillionaire.com, or en español, potencialmillonario.com. And I have it there with a link and everything, and it'll take you to Amazon. But the good part is it is an affiliate link. So not only I get the sale of the book, but I get the affiliate link. Have a nice day.
I tell you, what a hustler. Hey, Christian, since you joined us, I want to make sure on the podcast you're a shout out. I see that you're a videographer, a documentarian. Please let us know where you're at so people can support your work that are listening to this as a podcast as well.
Thank you. Yeah, what I do is I have a company. And we provide the services of video, photography, and DJ for private events like weddings, sweet 16s, quinceañeras, and also we do corporate events. Yeah, the name of the brand is Zeta100 Corp. That's ZETA100 Corp. The website is zeta100.com.
But again, you've been listening to Ray's podcast. We bring on mentors like Felix Montalada to help you find wealth in your voice. You can find us, subscribe to us at Ray's Podcast on iTunes or anywhere you can find a podcast. A rank or review is always helpful as well. And this is part of the Latino Talk Network, which you can find at ray'spodcast.com and latinosportstalk.com, which is part of our sports media brand. Again, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Again, we're not going anywhere on Blab, and have a wonderful day.
Thanks for listening to Ray's Podcast, Latino Talk that will change your life. Listen to more inspiring rays of light at ray'spodcast.com or by subscribing to Ray's Latino Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud. And email us at podcastrays@gmail.com and let us know what inspires you to listen to your dreams. To my rays of light, keep shining.